Be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We began our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb this last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and the first Sunday in Lent is always the account of the temptation of Jesus. We pray that God would richly bless us with the power and the strength, not only of His presence, but especially of His Word, which sees us through all things. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, 656. Following that hymn, we'll follow Matins this morning, 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Please note, during the season of Lent, we'll follow the Lenten responses. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment. Notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know who you're worshiping next to, or if you need to move around a little bit, that's perfectly acceptable. In Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house during this special time when we fix our eyes, our attention, and our hearts on You, on Your Word, on Your promises. Heavenly Father, as we travel in the wilderness of sin each and every day, with temptations all around us, help us to see that we are not alone, that You are with us, and Your Word sustains us and gives us life. Heavenly Father, bless us now as we hear and receive that Word, Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life, and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn, number 656, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, as is the Lutheran tradition. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you. page 219. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to God and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing the joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to His presence.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We continue now with our intro as printed on your service insert. We chant it together.
Thank you.
continue with our office hymn, hymn 659. You may be seated. Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is written in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak them together.
He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
The epistle is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with Him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Him to the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, "All these I will give you, if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. O Lord, have mercy on us. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this first Sunday in Lent, Invocavit, comes from the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Dear friends, in Christ, God created the man from the dust of his creation, stooping low to form him from the clay, and then bending low to breathe into his nostrils the very breath of life. God created the woman from man, forming her from man's own flesh and bone to be the perfect helper corresponding to him. God gave life to the people of Israel, taking them out of bitter bondage, from slavery to freedom, from death to life, through the waters of the Red Sea, then placing his name upon them as his own beloved, his own unique people. God gave you life, giving to you the second birth that delivered you from the curse of your first birth, taking you through the waters of the baptismal font, from slavery to freedom, from death to life, placing his name upon you as his own dear child. And Jesus, he stood in the waters of the Jordan and was declared to be the very Son of the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Adam and Eve rose from their birth and entered the garden of paradise, established for their good. But they didn't know, they could not know, that in the midst of paradise there lurked the voice of temptation. The people of Israel left slavery and death behind, drowned in the Red Sea waters. But they did not enter the promised land immediately. No, they went from the water into the wilderness. The wilderness of scarcity, the wilderness of temptation. The Lord did not take your life from you the instant after you were baptized. No, you went from the font out of the sanctuary and into the wilderness of this world, a world that now had a new enemy, you. An enemy that the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature would not cease to attack, constantly seeking your overthrow. And Jesus, he too would go from water into the wilderness, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Satan always works to try to get us to desire that which is not ours, to doubt that God really cares for us or that He will provide for us what we need. Did God actually say? He wants Eve to doubt the Word, to doubt God's goodness, to doubt her identity as the crown and completion of creation. God had promised to provide for Israel in their wilderness wanderings. But now they're hungry. Now they thirst. Satan's forked tongue whispers in their ears, telling them that all of God's promises are lies, that He will not give them what they need. You have wants, desires. Your eyes, your mind, your very body screams out for what it wants. And Satan, he tells you to go get it yourself. To doubt God's declaration that you are His beloved child. God's promise that He will provide for your needs. And so you fulfill your desires. You lust after, you covet, you even take that which God has not given to you. Unsatisfied with His gifts, you desire what is not your own. Jesus was hungry, deathly hungry. He is certainly true God, but He is just as certainly true man. And after 40 days and 40 nights, the stomach of God is empty. The body of God was weak and emaciated. Satan had been waiting for this moment. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If. Two letters. Full of poison, the poison of doubt. God has declared to the world and to Jesus Himself that He is His beloved Son. And Satan wants Jesus to prove it. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. Instead, He will take up the sword of God's Word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He will not take what God has not given. He will in humility receive all things as a gift from His Father. Even suffering, even the burden of humanity's sin, even the cross. Satan is a master manipulator of God's Word. You will not surely die, he says to Eve. Put God to the test. See if His Word is really true or if He's just holding back on you. The people of Israel, driven by their thirst, demand that God act how and when they want Him to. Testing Him to see if He'll be their little performing monkey, if He will follow their orders. You will not surely die. Satan whispers this in your ears when you are caught in a sin, when you are indulging the desires of your flesh, when you are taking what you want on your own terms rather than trusting in God to provide. What else is unrepentant sin than testing God, daring Him to withdraw His protection, to demand your life from you? The law says, repent. Satan says, build bigger barns, eat drink, be merry. Now, Satan is usually content to deny the truth of God's Word, but if needed, he can quote and misquote with the best TV evangelist. So when Jesus takes up the sword of the Word against him, Satan is ready to strike back, taking Christ to the very pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Put God to the test, Jesus. See if He really will fulfill His promises, if you are truly His Son. But Jesus will not budge. He stands firm where Eve, where Israel, where you have failed. Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He will not demand that the Father do His bidding. He will do the Father's bidding. Even if it means the way of suffering. Even if it means the way of humiliation. Even if it means the path of the cross. Satan's clinching argument is to tell Eve what she can become. If she will only extend her hand and take that which has not been given to her, you will be like God. He attacks, he inflates her pride, and the fruit is soon in her mouth. The people of Israel thought that they knew better than Moses, that they knew better than God. And so they made their own God at the foot of Mount Sinai, bowing down to a calf made of gold. You will be like God. That is really what every temptation comes down to. You be the God. You call the shots. You say what's right and what's wrong. You will worship anything that satisfies your desires, especially yourself. A God is not a statue on a shelf, but what you desire above all else, what you cannot live without. Satan promised Eve, Israel, and you that he could make you like God. Just exert yourself. Stand up to and against God, and you yourself can have the same power and authority as God. But it's all a lie. Satan has no such power and authority to give. He promises much, but he cannot deliver. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan promises Jesus the very glory and power of God Himself. All the earthly power and glory that there is to give. But Satan is a liar from the first. And Jesus knows how to counter lies with the truth of God's Word. Be gone, Satan! For it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. He triumphs where Eve failed. He triumphs where Israel failed. He triumphs where you failed and continue to fail. He refused to seek His own glory. He will not stop to gather an earthly kingdom. His road leads to the cross. And He will take it all the way to the end. For Jesus, glory only comes after suffering. by refusing to take Satan's deal, by refusing to seek earthly glory, Jesus has signed his own death sentence. He will be humiliated, insulted, beaten, and put to death. He will suffer the death of a criminal, but much more than that, he will suffer the very wrath of God. He will suffer the judgment of hell as he hangs suspended between heaven and earth. But on the other side of the horror of the cross lies the glory of the empty tomb, the ascension, the very right hand of the throne of God. On the other side of the wilderness lies the promised land. God will vindicate him. God will deliver him. What was said at the Jordan will be just as true on Easter morning. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God is well pleased with Jesus because he was born, baptized, tempted, suffered, and died in the place of sinful man in your place. You have failed under every one of Satan's temptations. You have indulged your own sinful desires, putting God to the test, and indeed making yourself like God by grasping after that which he has not given to you. Whenever Satan whispers, you listened. Whenever he tempted, you fell. But Jesus stood fast. He stood fast for you, in your place, triumphing where you fell. And his perfect life was offered up as the sacrifice to satisfy God's just wrath. Christ did what you and I could not. He faced Satan, and he defeated him in the wilderness and on the cross. After hearing from God's own lips the curse that their sin had brought, Adam and Eve cowered with fear. Paradise had become a wilderness. But paradise would be restored. Only verses after the curse is declared, God gives a promise. The promise of one who would come to crush the serpent's head and deliver all creation from the bondage of sin. His salvation was prefigured by the people of Israel, who through many trials and temptations did finally, by the grace of God, cross the Jordan into the promised land. And now the mighty Savior has come. He triumphed over the Satan in the wilderness where Eve, Israel, you and I fell. And then he crushed him with the cross and the empty tomb. And now you have forgiveness. You have life. You have salvation. You will pass through the wilderness into the promised land. The promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus won it for you by standing in your place. And it is your inheritance. Just as surely as Jesus is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the Te Deum, found on page 223. Page 223.
Oh,
Yes, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's power and strength to help us in every need, especially overcoming our temptation, would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. We stand. To the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their sin. Heavenly Father, we pray this day for ourselves and for all who are struggling with temptation. We pray that you would strengthen us to recognize Satan's lies, to trust in Christ's forgiveness, to hold firm to the one, Jesus Christ, who has conquered Satan, and to resist the enticements of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray this day for the Church of God, that every division would be overcome by the truth of God's Word, that in unity, God's people would proclaim Jesus to the world, and that the gospel turn unbelieving hearts to worship the one true Lord and serve Him only. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are afflicted especially by doubt, that our Lord would send the Holy Spirit to reassure them with our Savior's promises. Grant them confidence to confess that Jesus and Jesus alone is Lord, and to believe that God raised Him from the dead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are troubled by the difficulties of life. We pray for the sick, the suffering, the lonely, the unemployed, the shut-in, and the members of our armed forces. We pray that the Lord who brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm would mercifully reach into these people's lives with healing, comfort, faith, and relief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for hearts and minds that are eager to give back to our bountiful God, that by the working of the Holy Spirit, we would thankfully and willingly return to Him the first fruits of all that He gives us, and that He would use those offerings given in faith to extend His kingdom of grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all pastors, missionaries, teachers, and workers in Christ Church, that our Heavenly Father would provide for their needs. Use them to care for our needs of both body and soul, and to teach us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your holy mouth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray this day for our nation, for good government, for good citizenship. We pray that God would lead those who govern or promote justice to protect the weak, to reward virtue, and to punish evil. We pray also that He would guide us to exercise our freedoms in this land responsibly. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our armed forces and for all those who work to serve and protect us, that God would shelter them from harm and give them courage and wisdom in their daily work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, Lord, we pray for our families. We pray for marriages. We pray that our Heavenly Father would heal broken relationships, strengthen healthy relationships, renew our love for each other with His love for us, and use us to encourage each other in faith, in hope, in love, and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, You have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power. And grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 521, Christ the Lord of Hosts, Unshaken.
Thank you.
And welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who has overcome all sin, death, and the devil, temptation for us and for our salvation. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead are there. We're on our Lenten Wednesday schedule. Worship at 12:15 and at 6:30. Fellowship meal from 5 to 6:15, I believe, school and preschool this week. And Bible study and choir afterwards. Confirmation at 5:30, like always. That's our schedule for the next five Wednesdays. One opportunity for adult Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Ecclesiastes. Oh, boy. Ecclesiastes in the Fellowship Hall. And Pastor Marundi will be starting a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class in March. March 6th, first Sunday in March. So that'll be coming up quick as well. I want to thank everybody who helped this last Tuesday with our big pancake feed fundraiser for the Pediatric Cancer Action Network. I know there were a lot of things going on Tuesday. If you didn't get a chance to be here and would still like to help or contribute, I know that we're still receiving donations for that very, very worthy cause. Sunday school opening in here in about 10 or 12 minutes. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. Pastor, anything else? Vicar, have a great day and week and Lent in Jesus.